Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We are in discussions of a potential transaction, including him. I'll have a lot more to say about it once it is final, if it does become final.
A few moments later.
According to sources, Myles Garrett is going to be traded to the Los Angeles Rams.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
The two teams are finalizing a deal that will include Myles Garrett, the two-time Defensive Player of the Year, for superstar young edge Jared Verse, a first-round pick, and more.
I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, hi there. Hey now, even. I'm a little bit overrun with thoughts.
Well, it's just
too many thoughts.
Let's sort them out and see what happens.
I mean, that trade has to be talked about.
You think?
Yes. And guess my position. I flatter myself to think you would have any idea, or anyone would have any idea, but what do you think? What do you think I think about it?
I should know, but I really don't.
I can't. I mean, is physically what I want here as a modifier? I can't not appreciate what the Browns did. I can't not respect it.
Sure.
They're going nowhere.
Yeah.
He's 30.
And they got a,
they
guy,
got a guy who's maybe almost as good.
He's excellent.
Yeah. And a first and a second and a third.
All right. Yeah.
And it's less money.
Yeah, now you got a different conversation on your hands that the Browns are any kind of a contender. But, yeah, I mean, that's not – I'm not surprised to hear that. I guess I should have guessed that. But I love it for the Rams, too.
I think you can.
I think I love it for the Rams, too. I think, you know, they must – I mean, who doesn't view Myles Garrett as some degree of an upgrade, at least in the very short term? You know, we'll see how what kind of shelf life Garrett has as a top level performer out there. But I just, the Rams of all teams, like, they just keep finding ways despite having the burden of the $50 million quarterback on their roster and on their salary cap.
It sounds like you're winking.
They find a way to just continue to add guys. And, like, we'll see. I don't know. Like, you know, there's a lot of already speculation about, does this mean they're already decided they're not going to pay Puka Nacua or, you know, whoever, any other number of young guys? I don't know. But what it means to me is that they're telling everyone they're trying to win the Super Bowl as hard as they possibly can again this year. And I tip my hat to them because they always find a way to divest themselves of these picks and still be... I mean, they're not excellent every year. There's a bottom out year in there. I think right after they win, where they missed the playoffs and went maybe 7-10 or something.
7-10. Come on.
But they've been kind of the same level of contender, except for that one year. Every other year of this run since they won, like, they won it, had a bad year. Maybe not the year. There's a bad year in there. I just don't remember if it's right after the Super Bowl.
It is.
Or not.
5-12.
5-12. Even okay. And
last in the league in yards. Oh, that's the year like Mayfield stopped by and that year.
That's probably right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe is that where they draft Verse? Maybe I don't remember how high a pick he was now. But anyway, the churn just keeps going, and they're right there. They're every bit level of the contender that the Bills have been. One of these years.
It's the kind of trade that you wish would happen more often because. It makes sense for everybody. It's just that money gets in the way. And I think maybe image and optics, if that's the same thing. The people in charge are maybe on their last, you know, their last gasp as a GM or something. You have all these other, like, there are politics that get in the middle of it. But see, this is why fantasy is so great, because that really doesn't happen in fantasy. You have every year, every league, Dynasty, you have teams that are like close, and then you have teams that are not close. And trades like this are just a fait accompli. Like, they should happen, and they're exciting, but it's fantasy, so nobody cares.
Right.
If you're not in that league. This should happen in sports more often. And it doesn't, but when it does happen, it's kind of, it's exciting, and it's sort of a reminder of that, that if you have, I mean, the Browns, there's a lot to be said for the Browns here, too, in how they have been, I like this point. This is almost like a Sabres point before last year, or this year. Is it too soon to call it last year? It's still this year because they're still playing hockey?
Mm.
But
I'll get back to you with a ruling on that later.
The Browns having been losers for so long, I think makes this tougher in theory to do.
I guess, especially after, I mean, it was just last off season that there was all of the, like, Garrett made the rounds at the Super Bowl, and it just sounded like, I know how the Browns sounded. The Browns sounded like, we're not trading him, but he sounded the whole time like, I got to get out of here. And then he signed that dopey contract, and it never really made sense for the Browns to do that. Like, yes, you want to protect yourself and keep a premium asset on your team, but what is that? What is that going to get you? It's not going to get you anywhere. You're just going to pay the guy a ton of dough, and he's going to pile up a bunch of numbers, and we'll argue about whether he's a Hall of Famer or not because his team always won three games. I don't know. Like, it just was going nowhere. So they're out of that, which is smart, versus younger. So his peak should maybe still be coming if he's not already in it, but it'll last longer than you would assume Garrett's does. So it makes every bit of sense for, yeah, everyone wins to me here. Except maybe Jared Verse, who goes from a Super Bowl contending team in Los Angeles to a Cleveland team that is not seemingly going to be that interested in winning because they're not that close.
Well, apologies if the answer to this is known. But when you think back to last year and Garrett signing that deal, that was pretty shocking because he was supposed to be, he wrote that letter.
Right.
And he was going, he wanted to win. And then it's like, remember, everybody made fun of him.
And the GM said, like, he's going to be, you know, something about the Hall of Fame. He was like, I want to win Super Bowls. I'm not here just to go to the Hall of Fame.
Right, before the letter.
Right, before the letter.
The letter was in response to
yeah,
that.
Right. Right. It seemed like it was really getting nasty there.
Well, then he signs and everybody laughs.
Right.
At him. And I wonder if the GM is the same guy for all these years. Like, mm-hmm. Barry has been there going back several years. And that's interesting, too. I mean, that's part of the earlier point that, you know, he must have some confidence that, well, I mean, he would have to, that a trade like this isn't gonna sting him. Like, this is what management would have to, you know,
mm-hmm.
support it. But I bet, again, sorry if this is already known, whether this is or is not accurate, but I bet last year that they sort of had a handshake agreement that in a year from now, listen, here's the money, here are the terms, in a year you'll be movable. And so give us 1 year, make it look good, go win the defensive player of the year again, I guess.
Set the sack record, single season sack record.
Right, right. And then we will, if we're not suddenly good, then we'll move you.
Well, now we know why they did whatever bookkeeping they did earlier, like right after the season. There was all this reporting about, I don't understand why they're doing this with the money, because all it really does is make him easier to move.
Well, that was the point.
There it was. That sometimes the easiest and most reasonable answer is the right one. And so that was indeed what was happening there. And the Rams pounced. So, I mean, I love things. I was listening to Tim and Brad on my way in. It's kind of cool for me that, you know, I got these two guys that have been friends of mine for a long time, and they're doing this show now pretty regularly right before us. And just hearing them talk about the Bills approach and the Rams approach, and, you know, I don't know a Bills fan walking around right now that wouldn't want to have traded for Myles Garrett. But your problem is, you know what you don't have? Well, you don't have money, for one thing. You don't have cap room, so there's a problem there. Somehow the Rams do. I don't know. I'm not sure how that all works, but they do. We don't. They've got a lot of great players. They've got a $50 million quarterback. Okay. But I don't have Jared Verse. That's who I don't have. I don't have a up-and-coming or even already provably excellent edge rusher to divest myself of if I wanted to upgrade. I mean, you're already talking about a guy like, I would have been excited to find out the Bills traded for Jared Verse.
Oh my gosh!
But I mean, the guy's excellent. So, think that you find it possible or necessary even to upgrade from that guy to this guy is pretty incredible and is a risk because of the age of the two players involved here. One guy already costs. He comes with all this money attached, and the other guy is not even to a big contract yet. It's like most teams shy away from that. Like, I've got a pretty talented, pretty comparable, I guess. I mean, one guy's a defensive player of the year. The other guy's not. I know. Okay, so it's not. But I think
it's comparable.
Verse is close enough that I think it's stunning that the Rams were shopping for a pass for, like, a someone to upgrade him. Because you would easily sit back and just go, yeah, we're all set. I drafted him. He's excellent. We'll pay him. We developed him. And that's the Bills model. And like, I'd be happy to have someone like Jared Verse, but I don't. And therefore, like, anybody that's out there going, how come the Bills weren't in on this? Money, and I don't have that guy.
Well, that's almost everybody's model.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills are not the exception
that's
here.
Right.
The Rams are.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, most teams in any sport are gonna, you know, hold close to the vest the player like the Verse is.
Yeah.
Score to win. And I guess I can't help but smile. I mean, the Rams are different, and it makes it all more interesting. It doesn't have to work. I mean, really, this is also a defensive player, not a quarterback. They did that. I mean, how different is it from when they traded Goff for Stafford? Like, this is kind of how much better is Stafford than Goff? You know, a little, I guess, maybe. And then they went and won, and Goff's been good for Detroit, but it was the same kind of thing where they were willing to give up a lot of assets to make that, whatever you want to say, kind of upgrade.
I mean, this all just happened within like the last like 2 hours or so, right? This news broke. But I read some reporting already that indicated the Rams were in on this idea as far back as the draft, if not before that. And one piece of speculation I read was that it's thought that they drafted Simpson, the quarterback, now because they were anticipating not having next year's number one. Because they thought they were going to make this deal, and they wanted to make sure they had someone in the pipeline to develop behind Stafford, who they're very much like year to year with. And I'd like, well, we're not going to have our one next year, so we better get a guy. Which is, you know, that's some planning.
They had another one from Atlanta. So they could, it made that easier because they had Atlanta's one from last year's draft. I mean, it's just pretty sexy. It's pretty cool. Could the Bills have done it? Maybe not. Would the Bills have done it? Maybe not. But I want to say again, I don't know. It's, what does this sound like? This sounds like Dick Geron maybe, but it's really hard to win. And the difference between Garrett and Verse this year only, because then that decreases, it compounds. The next year you don't have the first, so then it's the difference between Garrett and Verse and a one. All of that, what does it really mean to their chances? They're in a very tough division. They're not, I mean, I know people say like Sam Monson, like they already had the best roster. I'll give him that. They might have already had the best roster. But they didn't win last year with the same roster. Seattle did. And it was close. They had to beat them twice in close games.
It's funny enough, like I was out for a late does it have to be called brunch if it's a late breakfast? Whatever. Anyway, I went for breakfast.
What time?
11:30.
That's not breakfast.
Okay. Anyway, but I had breakfast foods.
That's lunch.
I had breakfast foods. With a Bloody Mary. So I brunch.
Today?
Jeez.
What makes brunch brunch?
Sunday. The Bloody Mary, I think, is what makes it brunch.
Oh.
That is not breakfast anymore if you're ever an alcohol, I think. Anyway, so I was out, and there, you know, it's 11:30 in the morning, but there's a restaurant, and there's a bar area, and we ended up in the bar area, and there's TVs on, and they're like, last night's Yankee game is on.
Oh,
but the TV
love that.
That's right in my line of sight is on the NFL Network, and they're showing the Rams-Bengals Super Bowl. And it's the end. It's like the Rams score to go ahead, and now the Bengals get the ball back.
Yesterday.
And this is yesterday I'm watching this.
Right.
All right. You know, having no idea about a Jared versus Myles Garrett trade. But how's that game end? That game ends with Aaron Joe Donald. Burrow under siege from Aaron Donald. And like all the machinations about the roster and the age and the salary cap and all the stuff, I'll bet you somewhere the Rams would just tell you, we got Myles Garrett, so he makes that play at the end of a game. Or at the end of the conference championship game or the end of the Super Bowl, because we've been missing that since Aaron Donald has not been here, so that's why we did that.
Maybe he comes back.
Maybe, I don't know. But like that's like right now that guy's this much better than the guy we traded away. And that's worth doing. And paying all the extra stuff and the extra money. I just love how ballsy it is. It's just so bold. For a team that's already won. Recently, right? I mean, that's only 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
What is that? Five years ago now. Just stunning.
21 season.
Okay.
Well, I doubt we end up sort of holding court on this trade because people are not going to call us to engage on it, I would think. I mean, right?
Yeah, I mean, but, yeah. The only thing you could say is like I'd love the Bills to be able to make such a trade,
but I do again want to I want to stick up for the Browns because I think what they did is very hard to do. Not everybody would put it like that. Some would say how easy it is. Like I mentioned the Sabres before. I don't know if the Sabres were even this aggressive. Like they were always dumping. So I don't know. Like you. You might get tired of that as a mm-hmm. franchise. And the Browns could have sat there with their Deshaun Watson stock and their draft picks and been like, what do you mean? Why would we do this? But I bet it was the plan going back a year mm-hmm. to make this move. And I don't know, like I'm sure like we've talked about and you're saying, a lot of people are going to rag on them or tell you how much better the Rams got. I think they probably got a little better. Maybe a lot, but it's hard to know. And the guy that they gave up is really good. Good to see it. I thought here Odell Beckham was going to be our first topic. Right. Speaking of the Rams and that Super Bowl in which he tears his ACL
That's right.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily a huge topic, but it would be interesting to talk about him. The Bills go to L.A. for a Monday night game in Week 5. And the Rams, who already were the betting favorite, which that's interesting in itself with Seattle out there. How many times does that happen where the defending Super Bowl winner is in your division and you're still the
favorite
to win the whole thing?
Yeah.
But the Rams were just above Seattle. Then it's Buffalo and Baltimore. That's the top four. And the Rams' odds got shorter. I guess that's not surprising, but this is not a quarterback. And if they didn't have a good one, they wouldn't have been the favorite in the first place. So they weren't trading for one, but the Rams get a little bit more love in the betting market today for this trade. I made a bet yesterday.
How'd that go?
Oh, I made two.
I shouldn't have rushed to the end. What was the bet, Mike?
I made two bets yesterday, and one of them is already dead. Mm. That was a golf bet.
Sorry to hear
which,
that.
Which, you know, you can't expect to win a golf bet,
right? Well, Well, I mean, you can hope to, yeah, but yeah.
You can't expect it.
You make that on a Sunday, it's over.
Yeah, I bet Spawn.
Right.
I like Spawn. I was watching it, so he didn't get there. I made a Conn Smythe trophy bet.
Oh, all right.
Through.
We can do that?
An intermediate. No.
Okay, I was going to say. I didn't. All right. All right.
Through an intermediary.
I see. All right.
That isn't Sam. No, because Sam was in a state where it wasn't possible for him to do it either.
The wheels are now turning. So, let's see. Conn Smythe. Well,
it's got to be. I bet the fourth favorite.
Okay. See, I've not even, well, because we can't bet it, I go to my app, I never see it, and I don't go searching for this sort of information. I have you for that, which is helpful.
Yes, you do.
In a situation like this. So I have no idea. Now. I would imagine Marner and Anderson are the two top favorites.
Correct.
Frederick Anderson and Mitch Marner. Probably Marner on top of Anderson.
Right.
I'm going to guess because Vegas is favored in the series.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Well deduced.
So, let's see, who's third? You bet Eichel, didn't you?
No.
How high up the board was he? Or how low down the board
was he? He wasn't in the top four.
Okay.
If
you like Vegas to win, then he's a candidate, but he would have to blast through Marner, I think, in this round, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Marner would have to get hurt or something.
Probably.
I think for anybody else but Marner and Anderson to win, maybe not Anderson, it has to be a kind of a longer series where somebody can catch up.
Right. I don't know.
I'll tell you who the third favorite is if you want.
Okay.
To make it easier, because it's not him.
No, don't tell me, because I want to guess Stankoven was fourth.
Correct.
All right. See, I didn't want another clue.
Taylor Hall's third.
Okay.
Taylor Hall. Oh, all the Sabres on this list. We thought we were rid of this sort of ugly past creeping in on us, but we're not quite, I guess.
No, we're not.
Stankoven, what do you think? 9-1.
I think he definitely planted a flag with all the early goals in the early rounds, but you know he's lagging because they've only played, you know, they've only played
13 games
instead of like 18 or 20 or whatever. But I think if he has a good series, and maybe it's a little more high scoring, and that dings Anderson.
Right.
And Carolina wins, then I would like his chance.
That's what has to happen.
Yeah.
I need to crack Anderson.
Right. Which doesn't seem like it should be impossible.
I agree.
Goalies. I like it. I like it.
All right.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to root for Vegas. I just cannot stand Carolina. Any way, shape, or form. I mean, I hate their anthem singer. I'm not in a good place with the Carolina Hurricanes.
And I've never been in a good place with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Right, who has? Right. As much as Vegas and whatever their reputation is, I think that's where I'm going to end up. I think the Marner piece of it is really, really cool.
I like that.
Because of the reputation he accrued, along with everyone else that was a part of those Toronto teams, not clutch, can't score big goals, playoff failure, all this stuff. And if he wins the Conn Smythe the first year he's out of Toronto, it would be just delicious.
Yes.
So I have to, I think, root for that.
But now I can't root for that.
Yeah.
I can't root for him to win the Conn Smythe.
Well, because you have a bet on the Conn Smythe.
But yes to all of it.
It is going to be the most ghastly Stanley Cup Finals uniform matchup of all time.
That's a you problem.
I'll be watching
baseball.
So I think. Bad.
Yeah, well, that yellow never wins out. I mean, that you can't. There's no good matchup when one team is wearing Colonel Mustard.
Right.
Actually, you are today a little bit.
Well, yeah, this is like French is yellow. And there's no brown here. Theirs is like a Gulden's brown.
It's bad.
And it looks textured. Like, it looks spongy, weirdly, which also freaks me out. The whole thing. And then Carolina's got their road uniforms. Oh my, in Carolina, if they're wearing black, which I think they are at home, at least that'll look like a hockey game, I think. Carolina on the road, they got the red sleeve, it is going to be a horror show.
Don't you have a filter? Some sort of button you can push where they look like other teams?
I wish.
There should be some way to do that. 803-0550, Miles Garrett traded to the Rams. Should the Bills have been top bidder? I don't know how, but maybe. Lines open for your calls. We'll talk about the Texans today, right? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Yep.
Will Kunkel out of Houston will join us next hour. He just talked to DJ Moore, I believe.
That's correct.
We'll see what he has to say. Lots of different stuff today. We will mix it up. Lines open for your calls. Thanks for listening. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
To me, the Rams were still the best team, and they did not get the Super Bowl. Why? Some might say defense. They fixed the cornerback room, getting both Chiefs corners in Trent McDuffie and signing in Jalen Watson. And then now you go from Jared Verse, who in his own right was a defensive rookie of the year. But I even said in Stats vs. Film episodes that he went silent a bit too often. He wasn't getting them off the field in critical situations. Myles Garrett gives you the opportunity to do that and then some. So you fix the worst position group on the roster last year at the cornerback spot, and then you upgrade the edge rushing department and the get off the field player in critical third and fourth downs. And once again, I present to you that the Los Angeles Rams are the best team.
Okay, Josh Norris from Underdog, not to be confused with the Josh Norris Sabres, of the Sabres.
Josh Norris, right. Who I don't know to be any level of football analyst.
Well, you don't really know him enough to.
That's right.
Like, you're basically saying that.
Right.
I don't know what he knows about Jared Verse.
Yeah. Might know as much as that Josh Norris, for all I know. But what do I know? A lot of no's.
Josh Norris of the Sabres is a problem for you, kind of.
Yeah, it is. It was, at this time last year, a lot easier to just sort of cross your fingers and hope. Like, well, maybe if he's good and he stays healthy, I mean, I know he's good. If he stays healthy and he's good more often for me, you know, I've got a chance to really improve and maybe this can take off. And that really didn't happen. I mean, he did not have a highly impactful year. He did come back to the lineup, and it coincided with the 10-game win streak. Like, that should be pointed out. Like, he was a reinforcement. That, you know, what Kevin Adams getting fired? Well, no, you got a hotshot 200-foot number one center back. And so I don't want to say he didn't have any impact, but the money, and I'm just worried he's going to play 40 games again, and I don't want to just cross my fingers and hope that he can stay healthy. I'd like to replace him with someone who at least has demonstrated in other seasons that he can. So that I don't think is going to be real easy to do. Because you probably got to pay somebody to take that contract. You know, like, he's not a completely sunk asset, but the contract is going to be tough for somebody to acquire, I think.
You know, what? Is this even the right question? That was the Cousins trade.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a long time ago now, but was it worth it? I like to say this, when a team wins a championship, necessarily every move they made really cannot be criticized. I know there are times when, pretty much every time, the champion did this one thing that, wow, that was a terrible move. But they won, and that's the point. The Sabres did not win the Stanley Cup, but they made this monumental step forward this year. And you're saying it. Like, Norris was a part of the team. He was on the team. He was on the ice. Number one center, etc. He scored one goal in the playoffs. It was against Boston. He did not score against Montreal.
It was an empty netter at that.
Okay. Like, I don't know what you really got there. I don't want to relitigate the Cousins trade. I mean, Cousins was, we were in a bad place with him.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe sort of both teams, we'll see what happens with the Rams and the Browns.
Well,
maybe it's the opposite, it's where funny, both teams sort of get out from something.
I mean, I recognize you just said you don't want to relitigate it. I was on the air myself the day that trade happened. You were away. And one of the first points I got to was, like, I think in a vac, you know, look at the two players' careers, look at their stats. Norris, I think, is the – and just, you know, you want to do a deeper dive under the hood, 200-foot game, defending, face-offs, whatever. Norris was the better player. But why does Ottawa want to make this trade? Well, I thought Ottawa wanted to make this trade because they're going to the playoffs. This is last season now, not this one that just finished up. They're about to go to the playoffs, and they don't know if they can count on this guy, and they want someone that they feel like they can depend on, even if it means he's, you know, going to score 15 fewer points a year or whatever. And at that point, Cousins was far from the player he even was last year for Ottawa. Like, they kind of got the Dylan Cousins that got the contract extension last year, Ottawa did. And I don't even know what this is to say, but if I could undo that trade right now, like, if I could get Dylan Cousins back on my team for Josh Norris, I would do it.
But you can't.
But you can't. It's not going to happen. So at the time, I understood it. I got it was, to me, a risk worth taking for the Sabres. You're nowhere. You're stuck in the mud. Maybe this guy, new place, maybe he has better injury luck, and I got the better player. But so far, that's not looking like what's happening. And I think, yeah, if I want to really be serious about contending, I got to try to find a more stable number one center, I think.
The Sabres got 3 points in 10 games, including that empty net goal. I mean, Norris, due respect, he had Benson on his line for a lot of that. And still, two assists against Montreal. Benson got moved up.
Krebs had 39 points this year. Part of this is a durability point, which is part of your a big part of your argument. But Norris has ever only had one season north of 35 points. Not goals.
Right.
He had 35 goals the year he had more than 35 points. But
right.
Like, his second highest season in terms of points is 35. He's 27.
Right.
Is he tradable? You're bringing up reasons why he might not be. The money is a part of that.
Yep.
The Sabres are talking. This is Kekalainen. The Sabres are talking like they are very careful about what they're doing with their money. Not in a bad way. I'm not saying that yet. But Kekalainen referencing Skinner the other day.
Mm-hmm. When talking about the Tuck contract.
Talking about Tuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has yet to sound that, frankly, optimistic about a Tuck deal, knowing what Tuck would want more than, you know, maybe we don't know that, but you can make assumptions. I don't know. Your point since the season ended was, if you can move Norris, then you can do a lot of things here. And you can make room for the young guys, and maybe that even saves Tuck from leaving. Who knows? That's Robert Thomas, all these different ideas.
Right.
But it might be a pretty big
move
move to make.
Yeah, yeah.
Hard move to make.
Yep.
Game one of the final is tomorrow. Why is it final? Is that a thing that any normal person would not... Who would say final and not finals? Has it ever been final in sort of your life, just speaking like a normal person?
I would need to go back and look at all the the graphics, like the word mark.
From the league or just from people?
Yeah, from the league. Have they... like when I was 20 and not paying attention, did they have a graphic that said Stanley Cup final?
Doubt it.
Like, I don't remember.
When was that, the 70s?
Yeah, I remember always calling it the finals. Never the final.
No, why?
Because I'm normal? Or at least in this
because
respect?
Because it's more than one game.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. I don't know what... I just
why
know
do
that
they
it,
even want that?
I don't... Good question.
Is there some marketing reason? There must be, right? Why the league would want to call it the final? Why would anybody ever want to do that when it's a best of seven?
My best guess is that they're trying to differentiate themselves from
the NBA.
The NBA, which is running concurrently.
Here's one way where you can do that in sort of, again, a normal way.
You know,
because it's a different sport.
I was going to say,
with a different name.
Your game's on ice. That's
the
different.
NBA finals. It's not even the NHL finals. It's the Stanley Cup, which is distinctive already. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's been this way a long time, not when you were a kid. It's been this way a long time. I don't get it. A lot of things I don't get, including that the Bills have two games this year on Fox. And their games, we know this has changed, so there's the reveal. Their games at the NFC. Well, no, those would be CBS games, like the AFC network, if you will. Their home games against the NFC, Chicago and Detroit, are both at night. Detroit is on Prime, and Chicago is on what?
Chicago is on CBS.
Yeah, sure.
It's a night game on CBS.
Of course.
Right. Yeah, Saturday. It's a Saturday game, that's why.
I asked Sal today, because I use this Pro Grid for the schedule all the time, and it said they have two Fox games. So I asked Sal, and Sal knew. Which two games, which two Bills games are on Fox? It's the Chargers in week 3, and then Miami here in week 11.
Those are both home games, right.
Both home games.
I guess, because that the point you've been making about the NFC games, if traditionally that would be an opportunity for Fox to get them, and they're closed out of those because of the night game thing. So in order to get the Bills on Fox, they're taking a Miami and a LA Chargers home game.
And that probably will not, neither of those games will be like a number one team game, right? Chargers at Bills in week 3 at 1 o'clock? Is that like,
no,
I have the schedule.
I doubt it. Yeah, no.
Minnesota at Tampa, Arizona at San Francisco, those are 4 o'clock. Oh, Baltimore at Dallas, that's not Fox. This doesn't have to be settled right now.
Okay.
There's one 4:25 game that week, and that's the game in Rio. Because, of course, it is. Baltimore at Dallas. And I don't know who has that game.
Okay.
that might be a key. I'm just thinking that I doubt we get Tom Brady this year, which I'm fine with.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would have to be like a Fox game of the week. And is Chargers at Bills in week three possibly the Fox game of the week? Is it that bereft otherwise? Maybe?
Maybe. The Baltimore-Dallas game is on CBS, by the way. I just looked.
Okay.
I looked at their schedule, Baltimore.
Maybe it is then.
Yeah, might be. That means we don't escape Brady.
That would be the one. Is that how good a game is that? Chargers at Bills, week three. How good a game is that? Seattle at Washington that week. It's really not a great
schedule. It's a pretty good schedule. You could sell it as, you know, two contenders.
Sure, it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's not great. I don't think it deserves the number one announcing crew myself, but maybe you'll get it.
It's possible.
It's on Fox.
I don't see much of a better Jets Lions.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not up to that.
I don't see really a better option. Yeah. Seattle at Washington is the only one, if that's even a Fox game, which it, you know, intuitively it feels like it. Carolina, Cleveland.
Yeah, no.
That's Vegas, New Orleans. What happened to the schedule? Everything's at night now. That's what happened to the schedule. All these night games can make the 1 o'clock slate. Mm-hmm. I know you like that. Mm-hmm. When we're talking ball like this, that
talking
it can make it
ball. You it can make it look it up. Weak.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forced that. Did you see
Tennessee
or
Giants?
Did you have any exposure to Brady's latest hot take?
I meant to look it up. Something about practice squads. And
yes.
Do players want to be on the practice squad? Is this now?
His take was this. I don't have quotes to share with you, but I read the whole commentary. And it's basically you make a couple hundred grand a year on a practice squad, and there's no pressure until you get called up to the active roster. And his point was guys that are on practice squads, they're happy to be there, and they'd rather not have to face the scrutiny of playing in any kind of high pressure situation, and they're too comfortable sitting on practice squads.
It sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, because you're not guaranteed anything there beyond, like, it's a week to week existence on the practice squad. They're going to find someone they like better than you and replace you on the practice squad. And now you're not only not getting called up to the active roster, you're going home and you don't no longer have your 200 grand a year or whatever it is. And I just think it's absurd. It's like another attempt. It's an effort that to me is needless for him to prove how different he was and how driven he was and how strong-willed he was and how badly he wanted it. And that's why he managed to make all this, you know, all this out of himself after being a sixth round pick. And I mean, just already stop trying to prove
it was to us. It was no hot take. Whenever 4 years ago, when he went into broadcasting to say, he's just never going to leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's completely been the case.
Yep.
He's just never going to leave us alone. We didn't really sign up for this, did we? And Aaron Rodgers will be next, and he's already doing it by playing into his almost mid-40s now with no real serious chance at winning again. Like, just they cannot just go away. Pay's great. There's always going to be, like, Fox is there for him. There's always going to be somebody to – now it's Russell Wilson – there's just going to be somebody. There's so much money, no matter how interesting they are. And Brady is not the worst analyst.
No.
If you just didn't know it was him,
yep,
it would help. But they just cannot quit it. And Olsen is so good. And, oh, Tom Brady wants to do it. Sorry, Greg.
Yeah.
Like, just, you have to move down a peg. That point about the practice squad seems just insane. Yeah. And people who are in the league are saying that they think it's insane too.
Yeah, because he's talking like if you could sustainably build your career 8 years, 5 years of being on a practice squad and bank $1 million or more, okay, maybe the certain kind of dude is going to want to just sort of stay in the background and just take that check. But that guys don't do that. That's not available. Like, it's a year-to-year, week-to-week existence, and, like, who is settling and signing up for that? It's insane.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 803-0550. This is WGR.